up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Super Garrett Boys. I'm your host, Colonel and Dad, Garrett Morlang. And here in the virtual studio with me is the king of video games and elite game publisher, Adrian Holmes. What's up, Adrian?
Man, that has a nice ring to it. Elite game publisher. For those of you who are not hip, we had a fantasy league, a fantasy critic league.
We should do it again this year.
Basically, it's fantasy sports, but you're picking games instead of players to play for you. And let's just say if you want to know who has a good eye for talent, come and see me. Okay. I picked them. I picked all the gems and bangers this year. Went crazy.
Yeah, it was all right. I think it's rigged, but you know.
Okay.
Yeah, Adrian won that. And then we did our backlog challenge as well. Chaz Cheeto won that one.
Ran away with it, dude.
I need to reach out to him because I think he won something substantial.
How does it work for me? Isn't that a conflict of interest that I won the Fantasy League?
There was no prize for Fantasy League. I looked back in the history. And there was
you
technically
you made me do all that work for Fantasy League, and I don't even get a coffee. I already have a coffee mug, but still,
we can change it this year. But technically, last year was like a beta, like it was a test, like just to see. And you know what?
I played the beta like it was the final code.
I could have swore we decided like there would be a prize, but I went back through the history, every instance where we talked about the Critics League, and not once do we ever talk about the prize. But for the back catalog, kind of who could, why can't I think of the name of it? What is it called?
What?
Backlog Challenge. That's what it's called. Jeez, oh. I was like, I can't think of the word. Oh, the Backlog Challenge. No, we definitely discussed. I'm pretty sure it's like a $100 gift card or something like that. So that's great. No, congratulations to Chaz Cheeto.
Absolutely, man.
That was $100 eShop card.
I tried my best.
To the shop of his choice, PSN, Xbox, Nintendo, Steam, etc. So a runner-up wins an SGB merch package, so I can send you some merch, Adrian, if you want.
That's a I'm part of the thing already, though.
But do you have our merch?
Yes, I have a lot of it, actually.
Oh, you do? Okay, well.
I have a t-shirt, I have a mug, I have stickers, I have prototypes and stuff that we tried to do.
Yeah. Which we still need to work on that. We need to dial it in. The prototypes came out okay. There's a couple things that need to be fixed, but then we got the prototypes and we're like,
the material wasn't. That was the biggest issue.
Yeah, the material kind of sucked.
The designs were great. It's just the material was. Boy.
Yeah, I guess a little peek behind the curtain. We tried to do something that was an all over print, and the problem is if you want to do like just a standard, basically if you want the types of products that we're already putting out, you get really high quality products like. The print's pretty decent, and the material's really soft. Like, I love my crew neck. I talk about it all the time. SGBstore.com. Go pick one up. Mm-hmm. But if you want to do all-over print, for some reason, they can't. Because, like, what? You want? There was one design that you wanted to, like, kind of go across, like, down an arm or something like that? Or was it across all the way across the chest? I don't know. There was something where you wanted it to go.
There was a crew neck that I did that had our logo on it that went all the way up. That's the
all
one
the way
that
up to the shoulder. Yeah.
Over the shoulder. It was kind of like. Like yep. It was going off the shirt. And it
exactly.
Just...
And the problem is they can't do that with a normal like hoodie material t-shirt material. They have to use this weird like polyester like sport material, but it's not comfortable. It's like itchy.
It's
and
not comfortable.
Scratchy. And I'm
tight.
Like, this is not nice. Like, I don't think we should
You look
sell
like
this.
A sausage casing.
Yeah, that too. I think the size is like... Because my other my pullover is a large and it fits fine. I got a large of this one. I'm like, oh... This is tight.
This is not a long.
This is not this is okay. Not long. I am like pushing this shirt to its limit. Absolutely. So, yeah. So if you want some good merch, we got good stuff up there right now. SGBstore.com. But otherwise, that we do, you know, we do test out our merch first before we go, to send it out there to the store. So you can know you're getting good stuff if you're picking up some of our merch. Although actually there's one thing we haven't tested, and I was around Christmas time, I'm like, I wonder what new products they've added to, because we use a website that they offer products and you can put your design on it, kind of thing. Uh-huh. And they had like a dad cap, and I was like, sure, why not? So I just made a black dad cap with our logo on it. That's new in the store. I haven't actually tested it, so maybe I should test it. It is live now, so anyone could buy it if you want, like just a black dad cap with our logo in the middle of it.
You better hope that comes out right, if you never got one.
Yeah.
People are going to be like, how come the logo's on the back of the hat? What's going on here?
Well, if you get one you don't like it, don't take it up with us. Take it up with the company that prints it, because that's all.
Our name is on it. We're partly responsible. We designed it.
Technically, returns and everything goes through Spring. It's all at Spring's problem, not our problem.
Spring is going to come to us with their handout and be like, hey, you're messing up our stuff here.
What's the deal? No. The design's on the right side. I'm not an idiot. I know how to use a computer. The design is on the front.
I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying we tried this before and stuff didn't come out the way that we thought it was. That's all.
Yeah. But this is, so supposedly it's like, it's actually not embossed, but what's the word? Like it's stitched. Supposedly it's like a cool like stitch design, wow, like of our logo, which seems pretty
high. So they can stitch a hat, but a regular print on a shirt's just too much.
Impossible.
Got it.
Actually, our resident t-shirt expert, Sir Prince-a-Lot, would probably know a lot about this. We should ask him, be like, is it really that hard to do all over print on stuff? If it's not,
can you just do it for us? Can you just at least make us some prototypes so we can show them off and be like, hey, would y'all want something like this?
Right. You know? Even if we had a prototype, and then we could do like pre-orders, because we definitely cannot afford to pay for stuff like that up front. But like, if people would be into like some sick merch, that would be awesome. All right. Well, there we go. There's all the shop talk for this week.
I'm sorry, dude. I'm just, man. No, we were just talking about it a little bit ago, and 2024, man. I was coming in when we were first setting up the call. I said I was going to come in here. I was going to tell you I'm fired up for this year. And then before I could even tell you, you were like, bro, I'm fired up for this year. And I said, yes, we are meeting that energy. I'm ready to go for this year, dude.
On the same page, same wavelength, Adrian and I, right now, we are ready to just blow Super Gamer Boys up this year. So we're going to need your help. We're going to need your help, especially because we're independent now. Formerly part of a podcast network, and we decided to kind of part ways with them. So yeah, we're on our own, which means we would very, very much appreciate it more than ever if you would so kindly just share this podcast with everyone you know. Share them the YouTube link. If they like to watch videos, send them the YouTube link. If they like to listen to stuff on the go while they're working out, whatever, send them the podcast link, which is going to be a new link, actually. Well, wherever you can find it, just search for Super Gamer Boys, you can find it. But we've not only left the network, but we've also we're part of a new hosting site. Everything, like, everything's new. 2024 Super Gamer Boys is brand new all around. All the front end, back end. Well, front end hasn't changed a lot, but the back end for sure has changed.
So we got the little new Mario Brothers sticker on top of it.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah, with that though, like, tell everyone you know, share it. Go to, I don't know, I know on Facebook you can do that, but on Twitter and Instagram, can you invite people to like pages? Like,
I'm not sure.
I don't know if that's a thing, but just share our page to all of
your
friends.
Tell everybody.
Go to our page and just be like, hey, go follow them. Go listen to them. Go check them out. Because we could very much use the help, because we're looking to blow this thing up this year, and we're on our own more than ever. Yep. So the help is appreciated.
Brother, I'm telling you, I feel like This is the first show of the year. It's on the first day of the year.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm just, I feel like we could end this year with 1,000. Real talk. That's how I feel about it.
I hope so. That's,
I mean, we're already a third of the way there.
That's true. Yeah. If we can hit 1,000, dude, we could be making money off of this. And
who are you telling?
Maybe this becomes our job. That would be cool.
It ain't even about the money. It's just the fact that we get to even talk about this. But could you imagine? I'm not saying that we can't do anything anymore. This is our year, man. You gotta put it out there. You gotta put it in the atmosphere. You know what I'm saying? This is our year. We are making it happen, man.
You heard it here first. This is our year. We're doing it. We're going to E3, boys.
We're going.
Oh wait, shoot.
We were supposed to go, dang but it. There's no E3 anymore.
Dang it.
Anymore.
Oh, man. Well,
that's another thing that happened while we were gone.
Dang it. So, yeah, tell everyone you know about us. We'd very much appreciate that. But Let's get into it here. Today, we're going to be talking about how Bobby Kotick is finally gone. Good riddance!
Woo!
Christopher Judge won't voice young Kratos. And Tekken 8's colorblind filter is whack. But first, let's give a quick shout out to our Patreon producers, Bumple Smash and Kajuma01, and our Super Gamer sponsors, Julie Bates and Mama Mare. If you want to be awesome just like those folks, head over to patreon.com/supergamerboys to support us over there, starting at just $1 a month. That's right, $1. You get episodes early and ad-free, such as this show. You get the Patreon-exclusive Super Later Boys. You get previous seasons of Super Gamer Book Club. Everything. Oh, you get previous episodes of everything. All ad-free as well. You don't have to listen to the ads. You don't have to listen to me ramble about Patreon later on the show. All that. So, think about supporting us over there. Not only do you get stuff, but it helps out the channel tremendously. Helps us to fund all the cool stuff that we're hoping to do here in 2024. We got some big ideas. We got show ideas. We got shorts ideas. We got, We got ideas. So we're amped up and ready to go for 2024. So support us on Patreon if you want to be, if you want to help us out with all that. We're going to talk more about our Patreon later on the show, but here at the top, January 1st, 2024, I want to give a huge shout out to Jack Sriracha and Yate and DJ Trues, all for allowing us to use their music. We're so thankful to have some incredible artists that allow us to use their tunes here. So if you enjoy it here in the background, show them some love and support as well. Links will be in the show description on YouTube and the podcast apps. Go find them on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you can find music. Do a search for DJ Trues, Jack Sriracha, Yate, whoever. Show them some love. They make some good stuff. All right. Well, this is a time where normally we would check the mail, except apparently
on holiday PTO.
Yeah. So technically, yeah, they still have the day off. It is New Year's Day. Some people, right. You know, not everyone got New Year's Day off. The Super Gamer Bot did.
It was part of the deal to get him back on the show. They asked for more PTO, so we had to acquiesce. I'm not upset about it because they do their part. So
yeah,
next week they'll be
back. With that though, I thought this would be enough fun opportunity because it slipped both of our minds, or at least my mind. It slipped my mind because last year was kind of a heck of a year just altogether. We didn't do a game of the year talk at all. We did not on our show. If you go listen to Video Games, a Comedy Show, and you want to listen to almost 5 hours of chaos, madness, just insanity, if you want to see the darkest depths of humanity, go listen to the 2-part episode of Video Games, a Comedy Show, where
that it was 8 hours
absolute madness. Yeah, it felt like 8 hours. It felt like we were there for like 3 days, locked in a room with 15 people talking about Game of the Year.
If you don't come up with a Game of the Year, we're gonna kill all of you. That's what if the scenario.
Don't get me wrong. That's the thing. It's like, I know when we talk about it, it sounds like we were like gun against our head. Like it was terrible, but honestly, like it was hilarious. No. And it was so much fun, but also.
I only talk about it like that for the bit.
No,
I had a great time.
In the moment, though, it was like, wow, what is happening right now? Like, if you just want absolute chaos, go check it out. Video Games, a Comedy Show. Both parts are up now. If you want to hear our Game of the Year. I can't believe it.
I wish I could tell them what the Game of the Year was, but you got to go. You. It's so unbelievable how it shook out.
All right. Anyways, without further ado then, Adrian. My thought is, what is your Game of the Year, and then what are some honorable mentions? Instead of like numbering stuff or ranking things, mm-hmm. like let's just be like, what's the one game that is like your top Game of the Year, and then everything else that's like right there behind it. Give like maybe like 2 or 3 honorable mentions. We can talk about this for maybe the next, like, I don't know. Mailbag usually lasts about 20 minutes or so. See, so we can do like 20, 30 minutes. Like, I think like
this is the tough one, right? Because now you're making me pick between two of my children almost.
It was a fantastic year for games.
It was a phenomenal year for games.
There was a lot of duds, don't get me wrong, but there was also a lot of bangers.
See, I could pick one, but I'll be kicking myself thinking, why didn't I pick the other? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But if I had... If I had to give it to one, and this is not a slight to the other, this is because you're making me choose, it would be Tears of the Kingdom.
Okay.
But on the flip side, it would be Mario Wonder. Those two met and exceeded every expectation that I had of them. Tears of the Kingdom was just... where do I even start with that game? Like, it was just... I think I came to it differently than a lot of people did, where it seems that the sentiment was similar to God of War. When Ragnarok came out, everybody said, oh, it's just more God of War. But I tend to see that game, and more so with Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom, as pretty much just like two chapters of one big game. I don't think it's necessarily more of the same thing, as it's all one big same thing.
Right. And it's like a part one and part two.
Right. And I think people were expecting this to be a straight up sequel. Like, we're cutting this off. This is the new thing here. But yeah. I mean, you could infer from the trailer that it was the same world, same story, same characters, same everything.
Right.
I don't know. I never came into this expecting that we were going to get something incredibly different. And it's also odd to me that so many people got so burned out with Hyrule when, to this day, there are people who are discovering things about the map that, you know, people didn't find the first go around. So, yeah, I don't know. I loved that they took what seemed to be impossible to improve on with such a great game like Breath of the Wild, and they did. They made it even better. They made it better in story. They added new mechanics that worked out great. And... I don't know. I just feel like I couldn't have asked for a better companion game to this one, to Breath of the Wild, than Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
On the other side of the coin, with Mario Wonder, I was excited about that from the get-go as well. When we saw that original trailer at that Nintendo Direct, and I saw how amazing that art style and the art direction looks, and how expressive and animated and colorful it seems, and they've taking the Super Mario Brothers formula in a whole different direction. I knew there was something special about that game. And when it came out for me, there was. I thought it played fantastically. The soundtrack was pretty good. There have been better Mario soundtracks, but this one wasn't bad. It definitely had a lot. The music levels stood out like a sore thumb. Head and shoulders above the rest of them.
They're so good.
Yeah, I don't know. Just the world map was well thought out. There was even though there were less worlds overall, it never felt like there was less content. You always felt like you had a lot to do. That game was so good. I didn't stop playing it until I got 100%.
That's so crazy.
That game definitely. I don't know why they didn't call it Mario Brothers 5, because it stands shoulder to shoulder with all the rest of them for me. With Mario World, Mario 3, like it's right along that path. So Tears is my game of the year. My alternate game of the year is Mario Wonder.
Okay. So, dang. Any other like honorable mentions or, you know, games that would kind of like were follow, like, you know,
yeah,
would also
I got a few, but I want to hear your game of the year first.
Yeah. So for me, I talked a lot. Like I love Baldur's Gate 3. Don't get me wrong. Fantastic, like just phenomenal game. A game that is so enormous and complex that I'm still in Act 1, you know? But to be honest though, it's still like as phenomenal as it was and amazing. It still wasn't like for a game to be kind of my game of the year, it needs to hit more than just like, oh, this is a fun and exhaustive game. Like there's just so much like you can never or un, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know, like expansive game, you know? Yes, it's fun. Yes, it's like huge. You go on forever and ever, but that's like objectively, maybe it makes game of the year, but in my opinion, it's like, oh no, it needs a little bit more. And so for a while, I was leaning towards Armored Core 6. I was like, oh, maybe this is it. This is it. Like, I've been waiting for Armored Core for so long. I love the series. And I also just fell in love with that game. It was stuck on my Steam Deck constantly for a long time. But it's kind of crazy. Buzzer beater here in the last like week of 2023. while we are on that show, that Game of the Year podcast with over on Video Games, a comedy show, someone over there recommended this game called Dredge. And a little indie game by, I think it's Team 17, is a the publisher. Black Salt Games made it, but Team 17 published it. And I picked up a little bundle. Steam had a discounted bundle that had Dredge and Dave the Diver, which was another one that was recommended. I'm like, oh, well, I'll get two birds with one stone. I'll try this out. Oh my gosh. I have not stopped playing Dredge. I've played it every night, like, for hours. I even jumped, like, I was grilling chicken the other night for dinner. I was outside, like, and in between flipping the chicken on the grill, I'm sitting down with my Steam Deck out in the back patio playing some Dredge. My kids in the bath, I'm sitting there next to the bath making sure they don't drown and also playing Dredge, you know, like, you know, I'm just like all in this game, cannot put it down. And man, it just, it surprised me. I was not expecting that. So spoiler alert for what I'm going to talk about later on, or maybe, I guess I can't really talk about it much now. There's no need to talk about it now, but that was going to be what I was, you know, what you're playing is Dredge. Cause that's all happened within just the last week. But oh my gosh. So if you don't know, it's a single player game, a fishing adventure game, where it can be kind of like a fishing quote unquote simulator, like a fishing sim type game where you just go out and you're looking for the right currents, the right, you know, like, oh, is it like a coastal fish? Is it like more of a or an oceanic fish? Is it like a shallow, are they like shallow water, day or night, all this stuff? Like, so you're just trying to catch fish and make money. You're trying to repair your ship, upgrade your ship, buy new nets, buy new fish. So it's like this fishing simulator aspect, but there is a story going on. And what I love is once you dive into the story, and even if you're not, even if you're just out fishing, there's these constant little reminders where it's like, oh, there's some freaky supernatural stuff going on. Very Lovecraftian, kind of dark, sinister, creepy supernatural stuff that I love. I love me good spooky horror games. And it's what I love is it's not scary. It's not scary, but it's just got that little
zombie fish and.
Yeah, so it's like zombie skeleton or like a fish that just has an eyeball that's a black hole, you know, just like weird, like I said, like Lovecraftian horror. Don't just necessarily think like vampires, zombies, and skeletons. Like, it's also like weird, like distorted aberrations and like just messed up beings and stuff, you know, weird like Lovecraftian stuff. So I love it. It is like such a weird like take on just a fishing game. You think it's like, oh, is this a fun little fishing? Oh man. And there's like a panic meter. If you stay up for too many hours without sleeping, or you fish out at night in the fog and you don't have like good enough lights or whatever, it's too dark, there's a panic meter that starts getting, seeing and hallucinating and seeing things. It starts, things are attacking you, or chasing you, or like whatever. Like, there's all sorts of stuff that can happen. So there's almost like a panic / sleep meter. And if you don't get enough sleep, you rest and, you know, and get your, you know, calm down, basically. You start seeing things and going crazy on the open seas. Oh my gosh. It is fantastic. Yeah. Selkie says it. Cosmic horror fishing game done right. Exactly.
You're selling me on this right now.
That's my game of the year. I was not expecting it at all. Like, I never even heard of Dredge. I didn't know Dredge existed until that podcast. I had heard of like Dave the Diver, but I missed Dredge. And they were both mentioned by, I think, the same person. And so, I bought the bundle. And I'm like, great, perfect. I'll get two birds, one stone. And oh my gosh. Yeah, this game is fantastic. This is my game of the year. Armored Core, again, got me, had fantastic gameplay, great story, all this stuff. And I couldn't put it down for a while. But this game, and it, as is the case with a lot of indie games, has so much heart. You can just feel it. There's so much more than just like, oh, this is more than just a bunch of people like just making a cool action game like Armored Core was. It was like, oh, this is like, there's
somebody cared.
Someone cared about it.
Because the Armored Core team absolutely cared.
They care.
But
It's like your mom's cookie recipe, where it's like, you know, one of the ingredients is, oh, a little love. Like, that's an indie game, you know.
Like, that's a good analogy.
You don't get that. Like, not that there isn't, you know, not that the people don't care and the big studios, but they're using like substitute sugar substances, you know, where the indie developer, like, we're using real sugar and love, you know. And
nothing,
I love
nothing,
that.
No food tastes like mom's.
Exactly.
Or grandma's. Yeah. Yeah.
Same thing. Nothing quite plays like an indie game. And I love that about it. So that is my 2023 game of the year, is out of nowhere, because I'm not necessarily the indie guy. I've never have been. That's you. You're the indie guy, you know? And so it's just so wild to me to be like,
might be,
man,
more of,
like,
one than you think.
I mean, I am now. Ever since you've joined the show, dude, like, you've just been introducing me to more and more. And I'm so happy you have, because it's like I'm falling more and more in love. Like, even like, what, a couple weeks ago on the show, I talked about, I played Venba. That game was incredible. Love that game.
Yes.
So that's probably another like honorable mention for me, Venba. Fantastic indie game. A short one, too. If you're just looking for like a nice short little experience.
Hour and a half.
And oh my gosh, like, such a heartfelt story. Had me tearing up at the end. Like, I posted about the Discord, like, I didn't expect to cry playing this, but here I am. Like, what's the deal? Fantastic. So I don't know. What a fantastic year for games. But yeah, I want to hear some of your honorable mentions if you got some.
Some of my honorable mentions from 2023. Well, one of my games was not released in 2023, but I played it in all 2023. And that, of course, is my runner-up game of the year, and that's Power Wash Simulator.
Yes. Which, did you see? It's now in VR. Have you gotten it for Quest yet?
I saw the announcement, dude, and I don't know if that's like taking it to the next level.
That's like, you know, me and Death Stranding, like, where I've bought it on every platform you could possibly buy it on. Like, that's like you with Power Wash.
Dude, I'm like, if I put that headset on, I'm not taking it off. I'm not going to sleep. I'm going to be late for work. I don't know if I'm ready to cross that barrier though. But I did mention to that team, and I should follow up on that, that there is no reason why this game shouldn't be on phones and on Macs with Apple Silicon at this point, because if they're running Village, you know, RE Village, they could run Power Wash Simulator no problem.
Yeah,
so I don't
right,
know what the holdup right. is. I would love to have Power Wash Simulator on my phone. But yeah, that game is just, I feel like it helped me get through a lot of 2023. Like, 2023 was just it was a heck of a year for me.
Yeah.
You know, lost a job, doing a whole lot of looking, and, you know, things were kind of looking hairy, scary for a while. And, you know, whenever I wanted to just kind of disconnect and turn off and just recharge, I would throw on Power Wash Simulator and just wash. You know what I mean? I didn't have to worry about anything else except just getting the fire station clean, or I don't want to spoil some of the later levels, because they're actually really fun when you come up on them. But like Lara Croft's mansion, you know, things like that, or Bikini Bottom. But yeah, that game was, it was a really good comfort game for me, but as a game, it was really well executed too. There was a lot for you to do. You definitely get your money's worth. I don't remember how long it took me exactly to beat it, but it was, I want to say at least 20 something hours of just,
yeah, I feel like on how long to beat, cause I have the how long to beat app on my Steam Deck, so whenever I fire up a game, and I think it's like 25 to 30 hours. Like, it is a good chunk of change to, you know, to finish that game. You got to put a lot of effort, but that goes to show, like, for the cost, because it's only like a $30 game, 20-30 bucks. Like, you get almost 30 hours worth of content plus all the DLC they put out, most of it free. Like,
right, and then the DLC of it is only like $6-7.
Yeah. Yeah, the one that they do charge for, but a lot of them, like, it is giveaway for free, which is awesome. So yeah, game's killer.
So yes. Another one I want to shout out, because I was late to this console generation, but it absolutely probably would have been my game of the year for that year, that I played, was Ratchet and Clank: A Rift Apart.
Ooh, yeah.
Ratchet and Clank has always been good games, but I feel like this, the PS4 one, that was the one right before this, and
kind
now
of
this one,
or whatever.
It's just taking that series to the next level, dude. Yeah. there was a clip that I posted on Twitter, I think, when I first started playing it. And I didn't know that the PS5 records your mic when you record like a gameplay clip.
Yeah.
And I think that was like
clips and trophies that record your
mic.
I always have my mic muted.
The first time when I started going through dimensions and I was hopping through dimensions, because you could do that with, you know, now that the consoles have an SSD. Yeah. And I just remember, like, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was like some gleeful sound just jumped out of me, and you could hear it in the recording. And man, that game is just, it's a masterclass in like animation. The models look incredible. When people say, oh, this game looks like it looks like it could be animated. No, this game looks like it could be an animated movie.
Yeah.
With how good the models look and how good the animation is. I don't know how Insomniac did this and Miles at the same time. They are wizards over there, because both of those games look phenomenal.
Yeah.
But yeah, I absolutely loved Platinum Rift Apart. I hope, well, I guess we know now, unfortunately, that they do have another one in the works. I didn't want to find out about it that way, but yeah. I'm glad that there is one coming, another one coming. But yeah, I love this game top to bottom. I think I don't know what people gave it, but it is very, very close to a 10 for me. That would be one for me.
To bring it back to 2023, Hi-Fi Rush at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, baby.
Was so good. Shadow dropped on Game Pass. And oh my gosh. Like, from the people who known for making, what's that horror game?
Evil Within.
Evil Within and Evil Within 2. And they're just like, hey, check out this awesome rhythm action game.
You want to do something that's the complete opposite of that?
That's like the most like lighthearted, cutesy, like this incredible characters, colorful, upbeat. I'm like, heck yeah. What a amazing game. That was such a fun. I remember like we were so like impressed by the trailer. Mm-hmm. We changed what the Super Gamer Book Club episode was going to be that month. We're like, we're changing it. Whatever it was before, cancel it. Like,
done.
It's Hi-Fi Rush now. That's what we're talking about. Play, finish this game. We're talking about it. Dude, that was so much fun. Very good game.
Love
and just
game.
Like, such a good soundtrack. And like, and not necessarily that there's like, you know, I could name all the tracks on the soundtrack, but I mean, the whole game is based around music. So of course it's all going to just be audibly just wonderful. Like just listening through, it's like there's never a moment where I'm like, all right, I'm sick of the song, this is really annoying. No, like from whether you played with the licensed music or you turned on streamer mode and played with like the original music, or you in just like even like the world music,
the,
like every world,
the
had
soundtrack
different...
fit that game perfectly.
Yeah it is just like they did such a good job with like every level had a little distinct, you know, music based off of what the theme of the level was. Like, oh, is there fire? Is there lava? Then it's going to be this. Is there, you know, a bunch of machinery and a factory or whatever? Then it's going to be this. And it's like fit the theme really well.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. That game was so good. And the art style was awesome too. Like such a
incredible.
Fun, like comic booky feeling kind of game. I love it.
I really love the characters too. Like when the game was over, yes. I was kind of sad because I feel like I was saying goodbye to some friends of mine. And we didn't even, you know, the game wasn't even that long, but that's how good,
that
like,
long.
Those characters, you know, kind of band together and you felt like you were part of the group. And when they took off in the truck, I was like, well, I guess I'll see you guys later. I hadn't felt like that about a cast of characters since the end of Persona 4. Mm-hmm. When your character leaves to go back home and you leave all your friends and your friends are, like, tearing up like it's a tearful goodbye, but it's a good goodbye, right?
Yeah.
And, man, you just... I felt like I was leaving some pals, you know, like I was going home and they live here, I live somewhere else. That's a testament to the game.
So good. Love it. I love video games.
Video games are so awesome, dude.
Cool, you know?
One more that I have that you are probably going to be surprised by. But as I've been able to sit with it more, I've grown to appreciate it more.
Okay.
This is another one that I played this year. I don't think it came out this year. So for me, it is a 2023 game. And that was Inscription.
Oh, That game is so wonderful, and I'm so excited for the next game from the developer. Like, they announced it at the Game Awards. I'm like, yes, give me more. It made me want to play through Inscription again, because that game was so phenomenal. I loved that you finally played it. Begrudgingly. It took you a bit. You were like fighting it for a little bit. You're like, I'm done. You were ready to throw it away.
I had such a roller coaster love hate relationship with this game, man. I don't know what it was that was irking me so bad about it in the beginning. And then I came around, and then something else would happen. I'd be like, I knew this game sucked. And then I would come back and be like, this game rules. And I think I don't know if I've ever had a game that made me feel that way about it.
So hot and cold.
Right. And I feel like I appreciate it for that, because it challenged me as a player, and very few games actually, like, games are hard, you know what I mean? And you can find your way around it most of the time. But this game as a concept, and I've of course played card games before, that's not a big deal, but like, just the game itself, and then the world and the rules around it, I think it forced me to think about it in a totally different way, because it was you said, it was an escape room, it became a pseudo RPG, and then just all these different things that were happening. And
it's like the camera just keeps zooming back, and it just keeps going. It's like I don't know if you've seen on like Instagram Reels or TikToks or whatever, there was like a new trend a few weeks ago where it's all AI generated, but it just like keeps zooming out, and it zooms out forever, and the AI just keeps generating new images, and it's like by the time it gets to the end, it's completely different than the beginning. That's Inscription. Like, it just keeps zooming back, and you're just like, well, when's this gonna end? Like, what is happening? And it's just like this wild just like trip, and like by the time you get to the end, you're like, this is not where we started, but not where we started. What a ride. What a ride.
Yeah. And then when I got to the ending, I'm not going to say what happens because I want people to play it, but
play it, please.
When you get to the ending and you kind of get a chance to reflect on everything that's happened and, you know, where your choices have landed you, you know, with the other characters in the game. And when you realize what's actually going on, it's like, man, there was a lot more going on here than you first, you know, because I guess that was the point, to make you think, oh, this is just a fun card game. And then you realize it's a lot more than that. So as I was able to sit and kind of ponder with it and, you know, listen to a couple different perspectives on it, I've come to appreciate that game a lot more.
Good.
And so... I put it as one of my top games in 2023 because of the experience that I had with it. I'd never had an experience with a game like that before. So I appreciate the journey that I have with it.
It's awesome. So good.
You got another one?
Well, I do, but I'm just looking at the time. We are 40 minutes in. We should probably talk about some news stories here. Oh, so,
come on. Man. It's game of the year. I know you got one more.
Game of the year. Okay. Let me think real quick. What else? Oh, Starfield. No, just kidding.
Oh, well, I was going to say, what happened on break?
That was a good one. That was a good joke, huh? I mean, I already mentioned, I briefly mentioned Baldur's Gate, mentioned Armored Core. I mentioned, like, so I kind of threw a few other honorable mentions unceremoniously out there, which I kind of blew it a little bit. I don't know. To be honest, this was a weird year for gaming for me. I didn't play a lot of games, honestly. Oh, I have it. I got it. Sulky's, are you in the chat? Sulky's got to be in the chat. I hope he's in the chat. Party Animals. That's right. Ooh. 2023. Finally, Party Animals was given to the people. And oh my gosh. I wish we would play more of it. It was like, for the first couple weeks, everyone was in and playing the crap out of it. And then I was very much like, let's play Party Animals. And then everyone else has kind of moved on. And I was like, dang it. Like, not everyone, a lot of people though. And it's more fun with a lot of people. So that's the bummer thing. It's like, yeah, I could play with one or two other people, but it's not as fun as having eight people causing a ruckus, causing chaos altogether. But Party Animals, a game that we all thought was fake. We thought was just like Chinese spyware, you know, that we installed back in 2020, not unknowingly, you know, it was because it was. It was like this random beta test came out of a game we've never heard of before, blew our minds, and then just went off the grid for 3 years and then just came back. And it was like, what is happening? And
they
oh my gosh,
it, making it, you know.
It, I guess it was seemed pretty finished in the demo, to be completely honest. Like they could have very much shipped it, and probably people would have been
maybe something happened
happy.
Where they had to sit on it. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? Who even knows? But anyways, yeah, that game is incredible. Like I had some weird, like it had a rough start in some senses. Like people were upset about certain features and whatnot. But from my experience, that game was near perfect, like for fun, just like playing with buds online, quick little, like, just if you just want some chaos in your life for a little bit, if you want to yell at your friends, curse at your friends, play that game. Is so much fun. It's so much fun. It's, I mean, it's Gang Beast but with cute furry animals and some really fun maps, amazing maps, some really fun game modes, even the sports mode. They have like some sports, try to play like football or like soccer and stuff like that, but it's like with the floppy, like doughy animals. It's like absolutely amazing. So if anyone out there is still playing Party Animals, let me know, because I'm dying to play it. It's been too long. I miss it so much. But I still can't even believe that came out this year. I totally forgot about it until I was just like going through the Rolodex. I'm like, oh yeah, that game that we are like have been waiting for 3 years for, just dying for, finally came out. Love it. Yeah, Selkie says it best. Selkie says it best here. Beat the hell out of your buddies dressed as adorable animals. Top tier.
Yep. Games are awesome. Man,
games are good. Games are cool. You know,
that's not even all of mine, but I just games are awesome.
Yeah, this year was phenomenal. There were so many good games. Like we could do a whole episode. We could just scrap the three news stories. Screw it. Like
we got to talk about at least one of them. There's one we have to talk about. The other two we can cut.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that, then I think it's now time for the nerdy nudes.
Let me shake this holiday rust off. Woo. It's now time for the nerdy nudes.
I still love that Discord cuts you out. So me, the stream, we don't get to hear that. But later on, when I'm editing it, I get to listen to it in all of its glory and through the recording, and it's going to be phenomenal. So if you want to hear the full version of that, make sure to support us on Patreon to get it early, or you got to wait till Wednesday to hear Adrian's wonderful nerdy nudes there. Silky says, oh, but I know the glory that is Adrian being 9 octaves higher.
Bro, shout out to the chat, man. First show back this year and chat is active and popping off. We were saying
before the show we were fired up for 2024, and having so many people in the chat right now, like, Real talk. Thank you so much. Like, I am like amped up. We're going for a 3-hour show tonight, dude. Like, I am like ready. Let's keep going.
Wait a minute. I got work in the morning. Hold on.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Me too. All right. I guess I can switch to the old overlay here. Is this working? Yes, it worked. It worked. All right. This first news story comes from Forbes, written by Paul Tassi. Bobby Kotick blamed for ignoring inevitable Overwatch 2 review bombing. So a little context, because this headline is going to be like, what? Okay, this is random. Really, the headline should read something like, "The Bobby Kotick's gone. He's finally out of there. The losers left the building." Actually, Selkie says it best in the chat, so I'm going to quote him. If you're live, you get to hear this. Otherwise, probably going to get bleeped out here, because we like to keep our podcast generally family friendly. But bye, Bobby Kotick, you stink.
That he is. I mean, he's worse than that, but like you said, we're trying to keep it family friendly, because it's like that part in Toy Story, you know what he's saying? The word I'm searching for, I can't say, because there's preschool toys present, but same thought process.
Yeah, so there you go. If you want the uncensored version, support us on Patreon. Kajoma, all my homies hate Bobby Kotick. Well, yeah,
he's 100%
a scumbag. Get out of here. Bobby, anyways, yeah, so that's the new story. He's officially gone. He's out of there.
Play the crowd. Play the crowd. I need the
right,
cheer.
Right. Here we go.
He's gone, baby. He's out of here, baby. Let's go. Get him out of here. He's out.
See ya. All right. Bobby Kotick blamed. With him leaving, pretty much immediately, Twitter was filled with all former and current Blizzard Activision employees just roasting him. It was like the roast of Bobby Kotick.
Yet, and people were already dunking on him.
Like in their office, they're like firing up Twitter. Like they're watching him walk out the door. They're like, all right, so I gotta share this story. it just turned into the roast of Bobby Kotick, except he didn't get any sort of, you know, clap back. He just had to take it. He left and that's it. It was great. So there was a bunch of stories and people elaborating on stories we already knew bits and pieces of, but just hearing more. There was something about apparently the office, they tried to buy an industrial donut machine for the office for some reason, for the break room. There was people elaborating on, very sadly, you know, his statement in an all hands meeting, you know, telling someone to, you know, that he's going to kill him or something like that, or to tell him to go kill themselves, like horrible things that like HR should have been on top of probably, but who knows.
Oh yeah. Covering up for all the weirdos, you know, the weirdo execs who were, you know, harassing people.
Yeah.
Probably the one that orchestrated that internal, what was it? Not an audit, but like an internal investigation. Internal investigation? You mean you're going to have the people who are doing it investigate the company? Yeah, no exactly. Wonder they didn't find anything.
Exactly.
Did you do it? No, I didn't do it. Well, did you do it? No, I didn't do it. Well, I guess nobody did anything.
Nobody did it. Nobody did anything here.
God.
Wild. So one of the news stories, though, relating more closely to a specific game, that is Overwatch 2. Bobby Kotick blamed for ignoring inevitable Overwatch 2 review bombing. Bobby Kotick is no longer the CEO of Activision Blizzard, departing the company with millions of dollars in platinum parachutes after the Microsoft acquisition. And now both current and former Activision Blizzard employees feel more comfortable sharing stories about Kotick, and none of them are positive. Easily the funniest one is a tale about Kotick attending a meeting where he wanted to test out some sort of, industrial-sized donut-making machine. They didn't even know how to get the building to power. A less funny one is about Kotick allegedly threatening to have an employee killed, but others are more focused on specific game situations, like what happened with Overwatch 2's Steam launch. Former Blizzard employee Andy Belfort took to Twitter to share a now widely circulated story about how Kotick directly ignored pleas from teams about what they knew was going to happen with Overwatch 2's Steam launch. Namely, that it would be review bombed to hell because of how Overwatch 2 was being reviewed by players at the time, and there would need to be some sort of plan to manage and react to that. Here's Belfort. Moderation of Steam was put on the community team, not a function of community at Blizz. Despite my refusal to want to expose members of my team to that level of toxic content post, when asked whose decision it was to launch on Steam with no additional help, Bobby. Belfort concludes that player worker experience meant nothing to C-suite and the executive leadership. It was all about the quarter's earning call. And you can see the results of what happened in that specific situation. Overwatch 2 is the second worst reviewed Steam game of all time, with just a 15% of its 230,215 votes being positive. And an expected reaction to the update to the game, which many believe to be little more than a glorified patch to make it free to play. While Overwatch has survived, it clearly was damaging to both the game and the team working on it. And according to those who were there, that was due to Kotick. And this is just one story. When you type in Bobby Kotick leaving and in the news, like go to Google, click the news tab, type that in. There is about like 30 different, I mean, there's hundreds of articles, but from just in the first page, there's like 30 different articles and they're all about different games and different decisions. It's just nonstop. And the root of the problem for every one of them was Bobby Kotick. And so... Yeah, people are happy to not be underneath his leadership anymore. Now they are under Phil Spencer, who is a much more jovial and generally benevolent,
common sense having,
honest, and you know, much better boss from what we can tell.
I was gonna say, at least that's what we perceive.
Yeah, at least the perception. There hasn't been too many negative stories on him yet. But
how out of touch do you have to be? I'm thinking about the Bobby stories. How out of touch do you have to be to just think, oh, we'll get a Krispy Kreme sized donut machine and we'll just bring it to the office party? Like, right? He didn't even think about the fact that no regular person would have ever thought to bring something that big, right? Somebody might have bought maybe like a little skillet or a little frying pan with some oil and fried some donuts that way. No, he is so obscenely wealthy that he doesn't even think about it. He's thinking about, well, how can I make the most donuts in the most amount of time, in the least amount of time? He's even thinking about recreation as a business opportunity. Like, dude, we're making little mini donuts.
We're making video games. Right. we're making video games here, dude. Like, why are we building a Krispy Kreme in the break room? Like, what's going on?
Right. He's like, what? You don't have I have one at my house. like Richie Rich. He had the McDonald's. I have a Krispy Kreme inside my house. That's amazing. Everybody doesn't have that?
Prick. Yeah. I don't understand where his head was at. Like, it was just so far up his butt. He just couldn't see the sensibility in anything. Like, from stuff like that to even, yeah, decisions he made on the different video games. Like, so, like, game after game where, like, bad decisions came from him. Like, and he would just bypass people. He'd be like, I know, like, the director said this, or, you know, a producer said this or this, but you know what, like, I'm Bobby Kotick and I say this, and if you do it, right, I'll kill you. Like, I'll have you, I'm gonna hire an assassin to murder you. And it's like,
I wouldn't be surprised if that's why we got that stupid Diablo mobile game, if that's why Diablo 4 fell off so bad, because they had to monetize it so bad. So many stupid decisions, I feel like, are probably as a result of his leadership and him not understanding how game development actually works. More so looking at it as a transaction.
Yeah, it sounded like just like a dictatorship over there with, you know, it was horrendous. So we're happy he's gone. Excited to see what they can do now in hopefully some better working conditions.
Maybe they can make other games that aren't Call of Duty now, you know?
Yeah.
That'd be nice. Great. You know, Activision has a good number of IPs under them that aren't Call of Duty. Just throwing that out there.
Fantastic IPs. Blizzard has great IPs that they've been sitting on too. Like, let's start making some cool stuff, right?
Please.
Oh man. So yeah, that's it for news story number one. I don't know. Do you have any more to add to that other than just good riddance?
Screw that guy. I'm glad he's gone.
Yeah, exactly. All right, this next news story comes to us from IGN, written by Michael Cripe. God of War's Christopher Judge seemingly won't voice young Kratos out of respect for T.C. Carson. God of War 2018 and God of War Ragnarok's Christopher Judge is uninterested in voicing a younger version of Kratos out of respect for the original, the character's original actor, Terrence C. Carson. As reported by The Gamer, Judge shed light on his feelings about the Ghosts of Sparta's early days during a livestream event with Streamly. He says that although Kratos is a role he did not want to take lightly, he also wanted to focus on leaving his own mark on the character. I never watched any of the scenes from the earlier God of War games because TC's so great. I thought it would be a disservice to try to voice match him or anything, nor did they ask for it, Judge said. From the very beginning, it was about making it my own. Judge continued to say that even if PlayStation developer Santa Monica Studio had asked him to work off of Carson's portrayal, he would have said no. Interestingly, when highlighting Carson's work, the current Kratos actor added that he was offered something not too long ago but turned it down. They wanted me to somewhat match the voice of the character, and I said, absolutely not, Judge explained. I love this dude. That would be such a slight. We are not celebrated for what we as individuals bring to stuff. That's across the board, no matter what you do. We just think it's inherently wrong to try to commandeer something else that someone else has already established. There's some spoilers for Valhalla DLC that I won't read there, potential. But this is a huge W for Christopher Judge. He's already legit dude.
Love him.
He was already an awesome dude. And then for him to be like, no, I'm not gonna encroach on his space. Like, he already did that. He did an incredible job. There's no need to rehash that and or even copy it. Like, kind of make a second rate copy of it, you know?
Right.
It was already done extremely well first time around. So, yeah, I can respect that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I never, I mean, of course it's a different person, so it sounds different, but it never took me out of, this is one of the rare new castings that it never took me out of, this isn't the same character anymore. Because of the new perspective and how much time has passed for Kratos, yeah, it felt like this is that same character, but he's had, you know, in the terms of, I guess, godhood, he's had millennia to think about and mature. And he's also experienced different perspectives as far as relationships, right? He's had another wife who's made him think about life differently. So who's to say his voice couldn't change with age, you know? Yeah. And I think both of them have done a dynamite job. And I know people love to say, oh, Kratos in the old games, he was just mad guy all the time. That honestly is so reductive of the first three God of War games and the PSP games, because there was a lot going on around Kratos and they absolutely fleshed him out, especially in the PSP games. You got to see a lot more of his introspective side and kind of like how he was dealing with the situation. And, you know, there was one game that even focused on his relationship with his brother that, you know, because nobody played those games, that they didn't really get to see that Kratos actually, yes, he was upset, but at the same time, he was made a slave and made to kill his own family. It's absolutely warranted. I would be that upset if somebody made me do that. So why is it not okay for him to do that?
Right.
You know, but I say that to say TC's performance was excellent. Those games are great. And I think Christopher Judge is also doing a fantastic job. I do think, and I do have, and that's one of my qualms with Santa Monica. We don't know exactly how it happened, but apparently they didn't even tell TC that he was being recasted. They didn't even let him come and like re-audition for it because they said, oh, he's going to be too small. I said, what do you mean he's going to be too small? We just had last year, Lady Dimitrescu is 8 feet tall. Her actress isn't 8 feet tall. They just sized up the model. Why couldn't we have done that with TC? If you wanted a different perspective on the character, that's one thing. But at least tell the guy before you just recast him.
Right.
Because that's what he had said in the interview. He said, they didn't even tell me they were recasting. They didn't even give me a chance to come in.
Yeah.
And I know you were trying to keep spoilers for the Valhalla DLC, which is totally fine. We can do that. But I don't know how to say it. I guess we kind of, you know, breadcrumb trailed our way into it because we're talking about two different voice actors here.
Yeah.
It's not crazy. Okay. So there's a part where Kratos encounters his younger self. That's all I'll say about it. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, that would have been a perfect opportunity for them to reach out to TC and have him come in and let Judge's Kratos have a conversation with his younger self as TC. Yeah. They didn't do it. So I feel like that bridge was already burned. I feel like if they would have asked him now, he probably wouldn't have even said yeah, just because of, I would have felt slighted. You know, like how, oh my God, your boy, your Metal Gear boy.
Oh, David Hayter.
David Hayter.
Yeah, getting recast by Kiefer Sutherland. This out of nowhere. Like, didn't even get warned. It's like, hey, are you in the new Metal Gear game? And he's like, never even
what
got
Metal
a call.
Gear game?
Nothing. Yeah, what are you talking about? It's like, oh, no. Kiefer Sutherland, what? Okay.
Yeah, so they unfortunately, and like I said, we don't know the ins and outs of it. Of course, we're not in those meetings. We don't know what it is. But if that's the case and they didn't even give him a chance to come back and, you know, try to do it, that was definitely not a good look on Santa Monica. But to bring it back to the story, major props to Chris Judge. That is a really, that shows a lot of integrity for him as a performer, and a lot of he gets a lot of cool points from me because he shows a lot of respect to other actors, and he doesn't want to encroach on their performances and wants to make his own mark. So I'm all about it.
Sorry, I started laughing. I saw Yogurt Archangel in the chat. Says what? LMFAO, tell me where you find these 8 foot tall female video game character models. I have huge pajongas. I need to book a ticket.
Move over. Move over. I'm right there in the aisle seat, brother. Where are we going?
Oh, no.
Where are we going?
Oh, man. so good. Oh, man. Where does Resident Evil Village take place? Is it somewhere over in Europe?
I think it's in Europe. Because those big Victorian European castles.
The Amazon. Yo, Europe, he says the Amazon.
I think. No, not the Amazon. We're looking for Amazonians.
Right. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to this next news story here. Last news story, written by Grant Stoner over at IGN. Tekken 8 colorblind filter is causing vertigo and migraines for disabled players. A recently revealed colorblind filter for Tekken 8 is negatively impacting disabled players with issues like nausea and migraines, while accessibility tools like colorblind options help to differentiate important on-screen information like opponents and their health bars. The setting is preventing some disabled individuals from viewing matches altogether. Twitter user SJS Getterall shared a 38-second clip of a brief match with the filter activated, stating, "Why is no one talking about the colorblind accessibility of Tekken 8? Literally no game has done this." The video showcased a match with the background stylized after an uncolored comic panel. The fighter on the left is defined by vertical black lines that consistently move, and their opponent on the right is defined by horizontal black lines that follow the same movement with the player. Currently, the video has over 9 million views. Members of the disabled community took to social media platform to voice their concerns. Game accessibility lead at EA, Morgan Baker, posted, "Please stop tagging me in the Tekken 8 colorblind stripe filters. It's already induced an aura migraine for me, and I can't afford to get another one right now, or worse. Appreciate y'all." Accessibility consultant and advocate Ian Hamilton echoed Baker's statement, encouraging other Twitter users to stop sharing the video to prevent harming others. In reply to his post, Hamilton discussed the overall problems of colorblind filters, stating, "If you have achromatopsia, then you're sensitive to brightness and contrast. Filters aren't how to approach colorblindness in general. The other filters have issues too. The tritonopia, I don't know how to pronounce these right. Tritonopia one changed everything to green and purple, which isn't helpful for tritonopia. Other Twitter users expressed their concerns as well. User One Winged Bard stated, "Terrible migraine since I saw that. Crap, can't even sleep because of the pain." Accessibility and DEI consultant Tarja Porca Kanturi posted, "Stripe filter gave me instant vertigo just from a 2 to 3 second clip that I accidentally saw. It's hazardous." And it goes on, just people saying, like, this is literally, this is dangerous. This is not helpful. It is actually dangerous. And I was telling Adrian before the show, I don't know if you had seen the clip, but I did when everyone was posting it. And I do suffer from, like, bad migraines. Like, I've had migraines that have put me in the hospital before. And I saw this flash up, and I watched, 3-4 seconds of it. And immediately I started, like, feeling weird. I'm like, oh, no, I got to stop. And, like, 10 minutes later, I started getting, like, the weird, like, spots in my vision. Like, my vision will start to go if I get starting to migraine. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I watched, like, 3 seconds of that video, and I'm like, that was a close call. It almost gave me a bad migraine. So, I don't know what they're smoking over there, but, and why they thought this was a good idea. I assume they had good intentions, right?
Yeah. It's like I was telling you before the show, I said, I think they intended that their heart was in the right place. I think the execution just wasn't good.
No, their execution was bad. It was dangerous. Right.
All about, you know, them making games more accessible. I think we all are, but
yes,
it sounds like they didn't, because there are agencies that you can meet with, right, that'll help you work with accessibility, like Steve Spawn's organization,
Able Gamers. Yep, yeah, Able Gamer is one of those groups that'll connect you with the people you need to connect to actually get professional, expert consultations, like people who either A, experience it, or very highly understand that topic and mm-hmm. the disability specifically and how it needs to be addressed. And it really felt like I was telling you before the show, I was like, it feels like some guy was like in the accessibility team at the studio is just kind of sitting there like, how can we fix this? Oh, I have an idea. He did it, finished. Instead of like getting any checks, he just like publish, send, update, DLC, or not DLC, you know, like send update, firmware update.
It was like
update.
7 p.m. at the office. He was like, well, nobody's here. I guess I'll just
ship it. It's like, whoa, how do you not think at all that maybe I should consult a professional on this one? Consult an expert, someone who knows about this and how this works. Like, absolutely wild how that got through their cracks. But did you, I think I asked you before the show, I can't remember what you said. Did you actually see the clip at all or no?
Yeah, I saw a little bit of it. And I don't, as far as I know anyway, suffer from, you know, getting disoriented from stuff like that. But it was definitely visually confusing. It was a lot to look at, so I could see.
That's the other thing. It's not even for someone, like, generally, a lot of those colorblind, like, a lot of the visual accessibility features, I've tinkered with some on different games. And in most cases, like, you turn stuff on, and even for myself, who I don't have specific disabilities in those areas, like with vision and stuff like that, none of those things ever take away from the game or ruin the game. Like, there's a lot of cases even, it's like, oh, that's actually kind of a handy little, like, if I'm in a hard section, like, I'll use this. It'll make it a little bit easier for me or whatnot. Like, stuff like that. This was one that was straight up like, I don't see any way how this could ever be a positive anywhere. Like, it wasn't helpful for me. How could it ever be helpful for anyone else? Like, I don't know. Absolutely wild.
Yeah. They'll fix it in time, I'm sure. Especially now they've gotten all this, you know, critique and all that to go in and fix it. So I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, this story, when was the story from the 29th? So it was a couple days ago. It was Friday. So I hope by now they're already working on a patch to, like,
even just to turn it off.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like as much issues as it's causing, it needs to be, like, gotten rid of as soon as possible before anyone else just gets sick from it or hurt or whatever, because it's bad. It was so jarring. I'm like, what is this? I, like, woke up to that. I'm one of those idiots who, like, my alarm goes off, I grab my phone immediately, just open Twitter. Like, I'm still laying in bed on my pillow, and, like, that was the first thing that popped up when I turned on Twitter. So to wake up to that was, like, not
starting my
not
day off
enjoyable.
With a migraine.
Not great. So yeah, careful if you're playing Tekken 8. Don't mess with the accessibility features. Like, just be careful.
Or just don't mess with that one in particular.
Yeah, exactly. Don't steer clear of any colorblind filters, and they're all bad, especially that one. All right. I think that is it. Kajoma in the chat just said, I just went and looked at that, and holy. Yeah, it's bad, dude.
You get it.
I watched half a second, and that was too much. So true. All right. Well, that is it for the news this week. I think it's now time for our Patreon ad.
Let's do it.
This is the part of the show where I tell you to go over to patreon.com/supergamerboys and support us over there, starting at just $1 a month. That's right, $1. And you can get episodes early and ad-free, such as this show, as well as Super Later Boys. And you can get ad-free versions of Super Gamer Book Club, which, by the way, 2024, we're going to catch up with Super Later Boys. We're talking about that, too. We're like, hey, we need to actually start putting some of those out. So we got plans. 2024 is our year. 2023 sucked. I'm going to own up to that. That was a hard year. It was a hard year. We put out some killer content, the stuff we did put out. But not as much volume as previous years, and things are going to change. We're hoping for things to change this year, a little more content from us. So, which, again, if you want to help fund those and get them early and ad-free or exclusively, Patreon's the way to do it. And, $1 a month, it's all it takes to help us out. You get a lot of stuff early and ad-free and exclusive. If you want to support us at the $5 a month tier, you can get all that previous perk as well as the show notes to this show, so you'll know exactly what we're going to be talking about. And it's a way for you to have your voice heard here on the show. You can leave comments on those docs. That's right. You can get the Word doc with all the show notes, the news stories, the questions, the games we've been playing, whatever it is. You can leave your own questions, comments, concerns. Hey, if you have thoughts on the news stories, if you want to share your thoughts on Bobby Kotick getting booted, go ahead and join us on Patreon at the $5 level. You can see the show notes. Leave the comments right on the doc for us to read here on the air. So if you want your voice heard, think about supporting us there at $5 level. $10 a month, you can get all those previous perks and a shout out at the top of each and every episode. So everyone knows that you are a Super Gamer sponsor, one of the top dog tiers. We appreciate it very, very much. And then the highest, the biggest, the top big dog tier, there's the top dog and then the big dog, big dog tier Patreon producers. You can support us at $15 a month and get all the previous perks and the ability to pitch us a segment for the show and just kind of generally help us behind the scenes a little more. Right after this ad, actually this was right before the ad, but I didn't read the show notes until just now. After this ad, there is going to be a little preview for an upcoming show from a segment, I should say, from one of our Patreon producers. So we're going to be showing that clip here, and it's going to be kind of featured here on the show for the next little bit. And then, we're hoping to kind of transition it into its own little thing, but stay tuned for that. So if you want your ideas brought to the table here at Super Gamer Boys, whether it's a segment idea you have or you have an idea for us to do, think about supporting us at $15 a month to kind of be a part of the action here at SGB. All right. Patreon.com/Super Gamer Boys. Support us over there. We very much appreciate it. Last but not least, let's throw this quick one out there because it's getting to the beginning of the month. So hopefully a lot of you guys have a Prime Gaming sub. That's right. If you have Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. You get one free sub each month. We would very much appreciate it if you use that one sub that cost you $0. Give it to us. You get $5 out of it. We very much appreciate that. And again, another way to support the channel, a free way for you. And we get some little bit of moolah out of it that we can help pay for some back end stuff, pay for equipment, pay for future shows, whatever it might be. So thank you for all who do give your subs to us, your Prime Gaming subs. We appreciate it. Or there's people who even give their good hard-earned cash. So twitch.tv/thesupergamerboys. Think about supporting us over there. We appreciate it. All right. Well, with that, I think it's now time to get back to the show. All right, we're back from the ad, and as I mentioned in the ad, there was a little segment that I was supposed to introduce before, but here we are, now it's after the ad. We're going to do it right now. So our Patreon producer, Kajoma01, Caleb, he's been on the show. He was on a few weeks ago as a guest. He is big time into some of them trading card games, and he had a cool idea for a weekly segment where I think the idea is for it to be 60 seconds or less. Within a minute, you can get all the top TCG news for games like Magic, games like Marvel Snap, various games, and some of the new cards, some of the new strats, stuff like that. There's a little trailer here. There was not a lot of news this last week, so we have a fun little trailer. So there's a little introduction. I hope you guys enjoy, because I'm excited for this new segment. The idea is it'll be here on the show, and we'll start posting Instagram Reels, YouTube Shorts, TikTok, so you'll get it other places as well. So if you're not a regular here on the show, think about supporting us on our social media to catch the Reels for that TCG news. So without further ado, I hope this works. Let's check out this trailer for Kajoma's Card Game Corner.
Hello and welcome to Kajoma's Card Game Corner, your source for TCG news. No news this week. Instead, I'd like to take the time to introduce myself and the show. Hello, my name is Kajoma01. I occasionally stream and I really enjoy card games. My favorite card game is Magic, which I've been playing for around 9 years. Currently, I tend to play a lot of Commander with my friends and I play some MTG Arena. My favorite color to play in Magic is red. My favorite card is Lightning Bolt. And my favorite commander is Sir Farron the Henchhammer. Another card game that I really enjoy is Marvel Snap. I've been playing Marvel Snap since its release and have hit Infinite the past 9 seasons. My favorite card in Snap is Cosmo, and I tend to play a lot of Silver Surfer decks. My plan for Kajoma's Card Game Corner is for it to be a short weekly recap of the card game news for the week, so you can be fully informed in about a minute. We're only going to be covering Marvel Snap and Magic at the beginning, but if you have interest in us covering another game, please let us know. I hope that you're as excited for the show as I am, and that you'll tune in next week for our first episode.
All right. We're back. Hopefully you guys saw and heard that. I am so excited. But yeah, like we said, he's legit. He's legit. He knows his stuff about those games. If you're not part of his Discord, he's got a crew in there. They are all about it. So it's been neat to, over the last couple years, get to know Kajoma and hear his love for these things. And I'm excited now to bring some cool content from him to you guys. So, I mean, you can go follow him on the social media, which I'm sure will be, well, you can find on the episode that he guested on there a few weeks ago. So go find that. And once we start posting these on Instagram, on TikTok, on YouTube, he will be tagged in those as well. So follow his main channels, because he also streams on Twitch, and look forward to some killer TCG news clips. Keep you in the know here in the future.
Who'd have thought he was a turbo nerd about cards like you're a turbo nerd about Warhammer? Who'd have thought?
Okay, all right. You know, Warhammer's cool, you know?
So, I didn't say it wasn't. I mean, it's definitely, it's got to be cool to be around this long, so.
Yeah. All right, well, without further ado, I think it's that time of the show where I have to ask you, Adrian. It's been too long. It's been a whole year since I've asked you. What you playing?
Hoo-wee! What am I playing?
Get it? That's only a joke I can do.
It's a dad joke.
It's a New Year's joke. So
it's a dad classic. I haven't seen you since last year. I'm dreading going into work
hang
tomorrow.
Hang on, I have to say one thing. What? Sorry to interrupt. Kajoma says, what? Does Warhammer have Post Malone? And I have to say, no, we have Henry Cavill. We have Superman. So there you go.
I mean, he's not Superman anymore, so you can't
He's
Geralt. Oh, no, wait, he's not Geralt anymore either.
We also have Rahul Kohli. Rahul Kohli is awesome, too. He's also into it. So okay, Henry Cavill there, and Rahul
I'll
Kohli.
Give you that one.
There you go.
I'm dreading going to work tomorrow because I know that I'm going to get that at least 50 times. I haven't seen you since last year. Oh, my goodness.
So good.
But anyway, if you missed it, I posted on Twitter today that I am trying to do something to be consistent for this entire year. And I picked that I'm going to do a playthrough of Animal Crossing New Leaf for the 3DS. I'm going to try to play it at least, you know, just a little bit and take a screenshot as proof, right? I want to do that every single day of this coming year. And yeah, that's a goal of mine to just kind of like establish a habit and, you know, prove to myself that I can do things, you know, when I put my mind to it consistently. So you'll be hearing updates from me pretty much every week about what's going on in my town and with my villagers and whatnot. So look forward to that. And that also means I'm going to be getting reacquainted, because I never left it, but I'm going to be getting real close again with my 3DS. So expect a lot of my stuff, a lot of my picks of what I've been playing to be on 3DS for the near future. So
that's fine. That's great. Yeah. All right. Is that it? Is that all you've been doing? Some New Leaf?
I was thinking about breaking the PS3 out and, you know, going through my library there, what I got going on. Because there's a few games that over there that I missed that I picked up back in the day and just never got around to. So,
really? Okay.
Yeah. So we shall see. I'll keep you posted. Awesome.
Cool. Well, for myself, all I've been playing, I mean, like I talked about, I played Dredge. I've played a lot of Dredge.
Expound.
So many hours of Dredge. I mean, I don't know how much more I can really expand on what I've said, other than just everyone needs to play it. And it is currently still on sale on Steam. It's on sale. Actually, that bundle's still on sale too. But if you want just Dredge, $18, you're in. And sale ends on the 4th. So buy Dredge.
You got a little time.
Buy some Dredge. But no, actually, there was one other game I played. Mm-hmm. When was it? I did like a random stream last week. I don't know if you
saw
that. I was just like, I was bored, and there was like a demo I wanted to try. I have like this really cool analog horror game where you like answer phone calls, and it starts out like you're supposed to be like a help hotline. Mm-hmm. And it starts out where, oh, what is the name of the game? I should probably like look that up. That'd be cool. It starts out like really just mundane things like, oh, I got ants in my kitchen. How do I fix this? And then you find out on your computer. Oh, and you send them the information. It was called
Kajoma said Bear and Breakfast.
I did play Bear and Breakfast. No, he's not wrong. I did in fact play Bear and Breakfast. That's not the one I'm talking about.
Oh no, I thought he meant that was the horror game that he played.
No. Yes, that is a horror game. I don't know why I can't find it, but yeah. So I played that game. It slowly gets more and more just like off the wall, like just crazy stuff happening. Like people start calling in and just talking about random things, and it's like, wait, was that a person I was talking to, or was that like some weird like
dun, dun, dun,
alien or like or. I don't know. It just gets more and more eerie. Like nothing outright like scary happens. There are no like jump scares or anything like that, but it's just unsettling. Like you start getting weird calls about people talking about weird noises in their house. And then some of the things, like slowly your Rolodex of information starts getting bigger, and it starts telling you different things that could possibly be causing issues. And some of the issues are like, yeah, very various like creepy things that go bump in the night or something like that. Like I don't know, like there's specific things I can't think of off the top of my head, but yeah, it's just a really cool concept because it's not outright like terrifying. It's not like, oh, I'm being chased by a demon or something like that. It's like, no, you're just like this helpful like hotline operator and getting these weird calls that are just super unsettling and super weird, and I loved it so much. And it has this cool like analog aesthetic, like the computer boots up and it's old like Windows XP, and then you open up like the icon and you know you can see all the information. It's all like dial up, kind of old like Windows 98 stuff, more like.
So it's a psychological horror.
Psychological. Oh, it's called Home Safety Hotline. Yeah, that's what it's called. Home, yeah, it's kind of like a they call it like, yeah, psychological like analog horror, where it's like very much like you're not outright seeing anything creepy, but it's just very unsettling and really
the thought of the monster is scarier than the monster.
Right, it's meant to just like make you kind of like lose a little bit. It comes out in a couple weeks, like, so right now there's a demo, it's free, but January 16th is when the full game will release, and I am very excited about that. But on that same night that I streamed that, I did stream Bear and Breakfast. excuse me, which I thought was going to be a game I really enjoyed, and I did initially. On that stream, actually, I was like, this game's great. I'm loving it. But my...
Is it boring?
Yeah, my biggest gripe is you very quickly get to a point where not a lot of stuff is happening throughout the day. And if you wait long enough, you know, there's a day-night cycle, but you can't, like, speed it up. Like, that's one thing with Dredge I like. If I finish what I can do for the day, you go back to a dock and then sleep until the next day. Boom. Good to go. With Bear and Breakfast, at least so far, I have not found that ability. So if I'm done for the day, and I like, there was a point where I was at an objective that said, wait 3 days, or you have to get reviews from like three different people staying in your bed and breakfast. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, well, this person's staying for 2 nights, this person's staying for 1 night, this person's staying for 1 night. That's 4 nights that I gotta wait. And you can't just like, all right, I'm done for the day, let's go to sleep. No, you have to wait until it gets dark, and then the button finally illuminates saying, oh, now you can go to sleep. You can't speed up time. There's no way to adjust time in the game, and just you can't just go to sleep and wake up the next day.
Right.
At least, again, I'm playing on Steam Deck. Maybe there's a weird glitchy thing that's happening there. I cannot find the feature.
When it's translating down from PC?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I was originally playing on PC, and I also was running into that issue. But again, maybe I'm just an idiot. So if anyone's playing Baron Breakfast, they're like, no, you're an idiot. Here's how you do it. Tell me. But otherwise, right away, I'm like, I'm just like wandering for no reason. Like, I just need to finish. I just need to finish this objective, but I can't finish the objective unless I go to sleep, and I can't go to sleep until it's nighttime. And it was just really annoying. I felt like I was wasting my time.
That's really unfortunate, because I remember when we saw those previews for that game, and we were like, man, this looks really good.
I loved it. The whole gameplay of, like, yeah, you get to build your little bed and breakfast. Like, you actually, like, okay, how big do I want the room? All right, what furniture do I want to put in there? What layout do I want? There's so much you can customize, and it's really fun, like bed and breakfast simulator, but with like goofy, silly characters, like animal characters. I love it. It's fantastic. Like, the world is amazing. The characters are incredible and really fun and silly, and I love it. But the main gameplay mechanic immediately made it like, I'm bored. Because in order to waste time, you just got to walk around the world that I've already explored, and that I can't unlock anything new because I'm locked up by this one quest I got to finish that takes 4 days to complete, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was kind of a bummer. Not 4 literal days, but 4 in-game days, which still takes, like, all right, I got to walk around for 20 minutes before it finally, like, allows me to go to sleep or something. It's like, this is so stupid. Let me hit sleep right now. So that's why I switch over to Dredge. I'm like, I'm going to give Dredge a shot. And immediately I'm like, this is
where I want to be at.
This is where I want to be at. Yeah. This lets me, like, oh, if I want to skip time, all right, I go to bed. Boom. 5 seconds. I'm, you know, wake up the next morning, I'm good to go. So it just keeps up on my pace a little better. This is the pace I'm looking for, which, who knows, maybe I'm playing Baron Breakfast wrong, but I don't know. I very quickly was like, nope, maybe not my game until I discover how to utilize that feature. Again, maybe I'm missing it, but otherwise, it's a cool game. It's a great game. There's so much good about it. It's just that one thing drove me crazy.
Well, keep me posted if you take a turn, you know, on that game, because yeah, it did look really interesting to me, and I would hate to hear that it didn't pan out like we thought it would.
And I love the humor in it. Like, it's a really funny game. The characters are great. Like, it's a really fun story. But yeah, it's just like that one gameplay thing. It's like, oh, why do you have to mess it up like that? Why did they ruin the game like that? Like, with the one, like, seemingly stupid thing. But all right, well, that is it for the show this week. Thank you all so much for listening. We appreciate each and every one of you. We are psyched about 2024. So look forward to all the cool stuff. And if you want to help us out, like we said at the top of the show, we are independent now. We are on our own, and we would appreciate it if you helped us out. Tell everyone you know about Super Gamer Boys. Post it on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook. Share it in your stories. Invite your friends on Facebook. That's what I love. I love how on Facebook, our Facebook group is like the least active social media we have. But on Facebook, I love how you can, it says on a page that you like, it says invite friends. And then there's literally a checkbox that says invite all. I want you all to go to Facebook and go to that and invite your grandma, your dog sitter, your aunts, your uncles.
Just click
your
cousins, invite all. Don't worry about who's on it. Just send it. Full
your
send.
Your ex-girlfriend from high school. Like, I don't care. Like, invite everyone.
You never know. She might be like, oh, hey, I really like this podcast. Maybe your taste has improved. Maybe you're a better person. We should talk things out. And that'll be all thanks to us.
Exactly. Exactly. So wherever you can, invite people, have them join our social media, which is, you know, at Super Gamer Boys, everywhere. Follow that, please. Share it with all your friends. Send them some links to watch our stuff. We'd very much appreciate that now more than ever. We'd also appreciate if you support us at patreon.com/supergamerboys. Again, now more than ever, we need some financial support because we're really hoping to blow this thing up, which means it'd be cool to be able to pay for, you know, just some of these future projects coming up, keep up with some of the behind the scene bills that we have. Also, you know, people say it's good to pay for advertising. We've never done that. And maybe we should. Maybe it'd be good to have a budget to pay for ads once in a while. I don't know. Like, we're building the plane while we're repairing the plane while it's in the air kind of thing. You know, we're like out there on the wings with duct tape and baler twine trying to keep this thing together.
Not gonna be the last.
And so, yeah, supporters over on patreon.com/supergamerboys. We'd very much appreciate it. You can also support us over at sgpstore.com, where you can buy some sweet merch, like our pullover sweater, like our t-shirt, like our coffee mug, like stickers. Get it all over.
And dad,
our, the new dad hat that's not been tested, so buy at your own risk. I need to get one of those ASAP. I might do that after the show here. Get that ordered up, a demo of one of those. Rate and review is where you can be appreciated. Oh, actually, because we switched podcast hosts now, we are now hosted by Spotify. Apparently, there's this new really cool Q&A feature. If you listen to our podcast on Spotify, you can actually like write questions and notes to us through the Spotify app. So if you have thoughts on the show or things or questions for the show, like not only can you write us through Discord, obviously, as you always can, but you can apparently interact with us on Spotify, which is cool. So go to Spotify and write us some messages. I don't know. Say nice things, please.
Please do. Use Spotify, and everybody who interacts with us through Spotify, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to write you down on my feds list. Because that's who you are. You're one of the feds. All right. Only the feds and 15-year-olds use Spotify as a streaming service. Just want to put that out there.
Adrian has his vendetta against Spotify for some reason.
Just throwing that out there.
I mean,
got my eye on you.
Without Spotify, we wouldn't have a hosting platform for our podcast.
So that's Spotify, the hosting.
That's true. It's technically called Spotify for podcasters.
Streaming service.
That's true. Okay? It does have a different name. It does have a different name. That's true. Shout out to Jack Straccia and Yate for allowing us to use their music on the show. Find them on Apple Music and Spotify. Links will be in the show description below for you to find them. You can find us during the week at supergamerboys.com, Twitter and Instagram at supergamerboys. I'm on Twitter and Instagram and... Twitter and Instagram. That's pretty much it. At G Morlang. I guess I'm other places too, but those are the two main places. At G Morlang. Actually, I just got a Blue Sky account. Is that what it's called? I finally got an invite. I signed up like 6 months ago and finally just got the email now. Hey, you can sign
and
up.
And you get in there and then nobody's there. Yeah.
Nobody's there. Yeah, this is a ghost town, but it's cool. I got one for me and Super Gamer Boys. So follow us over there, I guess. Adrian, where can they find you at?
You can find me any and everywhere at Homeboy.
That is right. Well, that's all I got for this show. Adrian, do you want to take us out?
I absolutely can. Folks, thank you for supporting us for all of 2023. For Super Gamer Boys, it was definitely a year of transformation and change and whatnot. And surviving. Let me tell you, and surviving, making it. But we made it. We are here. And just with us making it here, being in 2024, I cannot tell you, man, we are so fired up to take Super Gamer Boys to whatever level that, you know, we can take it to. I mean, we were joking around when we were talking, I was like, man, we're going to end this year with 1,000. But I really believe that we can.
Why stop at 1,000?
I'm not even going to limit us to that.
Why not 10?
What?
I said, why stop at 1,000? Why not 10?
That's what I'm saying. I said, I don't know where this could really, we could really take it with this. I mean, granted, it's always also not necessarily about the numbers, but just content wise and, you know, production wise, I really think that we can elevate this thing and bring it to more people who would want to see it. And I think that would be a consequence of us making better content. Like tonight was a great example. I feel like we were on fire. So I guess just continue to stick with us as we go through 2024. We got a lot of energy going into it. We got a lot of planning that is going into it. And yeah, we'll see you again real soon. And with that, we are the Super Gamer Boys.
And we'll catch you on the flippity flop.
2024 is it, man. It's our year, man. We're doing it all the way.